Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to show them a world. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John, Tuesday. Right. What today's today? Today's Wednesday. Because yesterday was
Wednesday.
Yeah. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you over the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And let's get it going. Let's get another booing night for Carlos Cray. And I don't want this to be a, you know, this is the most a major thing. But I think a lot of people, what I my exchanges with a lot of people on Twitter. There's a lot of misinformation out there about Carlos Correa.
Well, there's some people who tend to believe that anytime there's a, like he left, he didn't care. He left us, and that's that.
Yeah. So so you can boo if you want. I mean, anybody can boo. You know, you can boo if you want. But I mean, I just now when Yuli comes back, he's not going to get booed because of the, the way that he played. And, and oh, by the way, a lot of people are saying, well, Yuli left because the Astros didn't want him anymore.
Yeah.
That's in large part the same deal with Carlos Correa. I mean, they offered
But they had made an offer to him. But
right.
Carlos was a coveted free agent or whatever. Yuli, obviously, there was no place for Yuli to go. He eventually went to Miami. But the Carlos thing is pretty – I thought it was well documented, but then it's always a reminder that – there's a bubble of information. A lot of people don't have it. And to a lot of people, he just wanted to leave Houston. He could have signed a deal earlier or whatever. But
no, he Carlos Correa absolutely wanted. I know this for a fact. I mean, to until the 11th hour, he was trying to be an Astro. The thing is this, is that they offered him 5 years, $160 million. He ended up, he's got a chance to make that $300 million that he wanted. You know, he signed a 6-year, $200 million deal, but he can also vest for what will be, after the $35 million that he made last year, he'll make over $300 million on this contract, which is what players really, really want. The Astros make...
I really want that.
Yeah.
For
me. No, everybody... I mean, you want as much guaranteed money as you possibly can get, and that's a lot more money than the Astros were offering. Look, the Astros made the right decision. There's no question.
Right.
The Astros made the right – but it was the Astros' decision for Carlos Correa not to return, not Carlos Correa's.
Right.
Carlos Correa wanted to be here.
At
the
least
Astros didn't
want
to pay – now, the Astros' philosophy is we're not paying – we're not giving you an 8 or 10 year deal. We're just not. That's not what we do. And they haven't done that. They're not. And guess what? Are you going to boo Kyle Tucker when he comes back?
He may get booed by some people.
He may. But you know what? Here's the difference. If he was like, well, some guy was like, hey, Bregman and Altuve decided to stay. Bregman and Altuve were both offered long term. $100 million deals before their arbitration years were.
Right.
Where, I mean, Jose Altuve had to go through, he was going through arbitration when he signed his deal. Alex Bregman signed his deal after his second year.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go through even club control.
He's taking early money now.
Yeah. And that's what Yordan did.
Yeah.
But Kyle Tucker's not taking early money. That early money that Jordan took, listen, he guaranteed himself life-changing money, his generational money, for him and his family. That's great. Kyle Tucker's betting on himself. Carlos Correa betting on himself. But listen, it got to the point with Carlos Correa, in his second year of arbitration, they took him to arbitration over $750,000. He wanted $5 million, and they wanted to give him $4.25. $750,000 for your star shortstop, number one overall pick. You're going to arbitration for that? That'll tell you that the Astros were not offering Carlos Correa the same kind of deals that they were offering Bregman and Altuve. They just were not going to pay Carlos Correa ever.
Well, the thing that ended up happening was for Carlos, once he got only a 3-year offer, he wanted the Astros to match it. The Astros weren't going to match it that number, but I think for Correa, he was just couldn't believe the Astros wouldn't even answer a phone call, or at least according to Correa's side.
Yeah.
According to the Astros side previously with James Click, that's not true information, but I know according to Carlos Correa, right?
Listen, they had made up their mind, and that's the way the Astros do business. And you know what? Again, they were right. They were dead. Jeremy Pena has done an unbelievable job. They bet on Jeremy Pena, and Jeremy Pena has paid and is paying off big time with one of the best values in all of baseball.
It worked out for everyone, but this is not a contentious. The bottom line is this is not a contentious thing between Astros fans and Carlos. It really shouldn't.
It shouldn't be.
And if you've got a bone to pick with Carlos Correa, I don't think you really have the full scope of what the situation was. I think the Astros probably realized they had a pretty good player in Jeremy Pena coming up, a big guy, a physical guy, a face of the franchise type guy, and they decided to move in a different direction. The same way I think the Texans probably should with Titus Howard. I think if you got a chance to pay somebody a certain amount of money, look, the deal with Carlos Correa is a lot of injuries and some up and down performances, not consistency from, you know, power numbers at the plate. There were some ups and downs, but he was a very clutch player. He also missed a lot of time with Titus Howard. So you said, let's go cheaper with a younger talent. And that's ended up working out. I don't see it much differently with Titus Howard. You have to wrap your mind around it, but Titus Howard plays at an up and down level. I don't think he's great. I don't know that he's worth the amount of money that you're going to have to pay him. Why not go younger? This time it'd be in the draft, not the minor league system, and go younger and cheaper there and try to develop someone who can play at his level. I mean, Jeremy Pena did it for a fraction of the cost. It's not a bad that's how good teams operate, by the way, is knowing when to get away from a player.
Right.
Because how's Carlos playing this year?
I hesitate to make the analogy of Carlos Correa and Titus Howard. What Carlos Correa meant to the Astros is much bigger than
Carlos had major concerns that we both brought up in terms of consistency of performance and injuries.
Are you going to boo Titus Howard when he comes back?
I'm not really going to boo.
As an Arizona Cardinal?
I'm not really going to boo anyone. I'll wish some bad performances on certain players like Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna boo anyone. I just think that you have to know. It just gets to team philosophy. You have to know when to get away from certain players, when the salary crosses a threshold, and I think Titus Howard is going to cross that threshold, and I think you move in a different direction. The Astros did it with – I'm just trying to point out to people who follow both teams that it can work. You don't have to just stick with the devil you know. And in Carlos's case, obviously everyone, pay him. And then you see the Astros had a philosophy, and they didn't listen to the fans. They said, no, we're not going to pay him. And they made the right move.
They were right. They were right. It's right that Carlos left. It's right. It's right that he went and got his money. Can't blame the guy. But listen, he's got a chance to make $300 million as opposed to the $160 that the Astros were offering. It's a big difference.
I think Carlos will make more money. I don't know that he'll ever be as happy as he was.
No.
It's a decision. I don't know if George will ever be. It's a decision where at one point a player has to decide, especially guys who win World Series, am I deciding between the most money I can make or happiness with my other team?
Well, and you notice that they're both injury prone guys that they let go. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carlos had that injury in the minors, and that is what's kept him. That's what's kept him from signing that big deal with the Giants and the Mets.
Yeah, they believe it's something that's going to get worse.
Something that's serious. And Carlos, you know, he missed some time. Carlos came back and was not the same guy after his back rub. When he was getting a back rub and broke his ribs, he wasn't the same guy for a while. But then, listen, Carlos Correa is one. I just don't get. What I don't get is this is Houston. I still don't get the Beltran hate, or the Carlos Beltran hate that we had for years. Now I get the Carlos Beltran hate because he brought angst on the organization with the cheating scandal. But I didn't understand booing him like he did. Uncle Drayton wasn't giving him $100 million. The dude went out and made $100 million. How are you gonna hold that against him?
Dude, can you imagine? That was not. It doesn't feel that long ago. It was 2005. After the 2004 season. I mean, it was almost 20 years ago, but. $100 million, you are a poverty player if you're making $100 million. What kind of poor ass house and car and watch do you wear if you're making something as poverty as $100 million now in baseball?
Back then, it was money. No,
it was crazy. Now it's like $100 million. If you're not making $300 million, we don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah, you're
you can't even get into our club.
We spit on you.
Times that amount over the last 20 years.
But
then you look at the salary of people who work for a living.
Yeah.
You do see. I can't see people getting pissed off. There is a reason people get a little feisty about contracts when they see entertainers, you know, of all sorts making 3 times the amount of money they once did.
Yeah.
And the general person out there working like, hey, my salary's gone up like $3,500 over the last 20 years. I've been in the same place.
Well, yeah. Now $20 million to make a movie is nothing. Forget about it.
All entertainment, yeah.
All entertainment.
And CEOs.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so they booed Carlos Correa again last night, whatever. He's not playing tonight, I don't believe. I don't think he's going to be playing tonight, so you can't boo him. I don't get it. What I do get is that the Astros bounce back as usual and take care of business. Listen, you beat a good pitcher last night. Joe Ryan is a good pitcher. That dude was 7-1 with a sub-2 ERA coming into that game. Joe Ryan had been really, really good, but he's no Brandon Belak. Let's just put it that way, okay? Brandon Belak was heroic. And I hate to throw the word hero around, but
you'll do it for Brandon Belak.
Brandon Belak was heroic last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to mow down granted, the lineup. The Twins strike out more than any team in baseball.
I get that.
But Brandon Belak said, not on my watch.
No.
This ain't happening.
He was still good.
He was really good.
Hey, if a team's going to strike out and not hit the ball, then throw pitches that do thusly.
Well, right. You do thusly. Okay. That's your analysis?
Yeah.
Do thusly.
No, he was around the zone, and you know what? I thought he was just solid.
Yeah.
Just solid, made his pitches when he needed to, and I thought he was solid. He's a guy that I don't think – I mean, the stuff isn't great with Brandon Belak, but he's got a little movement there, and he's good enough to – I think he's good enough to take a troubled lineup and win enough games. All I want him to do is be a good fifth starter. Just be a solid fifth starter while these other guys are out. And that's what he did. He did his job. He's actually done his job a couple times this year.
No. Listen.
He's been okay.
I want to tell you something. Hey, this organization is unbelievable. J.P. France has been serviceable. Hey, Brandon Belak's ERA now is down to 3.19.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you going to ask for a starter, a fill-in starter that's come up from the minors that had no – if you're healthy, he's got no chance to be at the big league level right now, and he's got a 3.19 for you and winning baseball games.
He's got to work. Like, he's not going to be a guy. He's never going to be a guy who is just his stuff is so good that he just starts to dominate you. I mean, he's going to have some walks because he has to kind of pick around or he'll get hit really hard.
We always have the next man up philosophy, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen an organization that is as good as at this. Okay. Next up, Jeremy Peña. Come on in and win the World Series MVP.
Insane, yeah.
Oh, but Chaz McCormick.
It took a while for Chaz. I think you're misremembering. Chaz was not beloved when he came up early on. He didn't have a great deal of success. We were talking about, can you find a center fielder? Because this is not good enough.
Listen, he had to fill in because Jake Myers got hurt. Remember? Mm-hmm. You remember that? I'm not saying that he is.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I'm not saying he's Willie Mays.
Right.
But look at Corey Jolks. Look at Jake Meyers. The other day, hits a three-run homer. Okay, now you sit down, Chaz. Come on in. Oh, Chaz hits a two-run homer.
Dubon. This year.
Look, Dubon. Jose Altuve's out. He hits 300. He's like the best hitting second baseman in baseball. Jose Altuve came back and said, this guy's got to be an all-star second baseman. No, honestly, he was playing as well as any second baseman in the American League. It's unbelievable how these guys step up. Corey Jolks gets at-bats, what, two games a week or whatever, and Corey Jolks comes up with huge hit after huge hit. It is amazing how these guys step up time and time again.
Chaz is hitting 220 right now. It feels like he's hitting better.
It does. Well, he went on a nice little run.
He did.
He struggled for a little while, but he went on a nice little run. But listen, 220 when you're playing so intermittently, it ain't easy hitting major league pitching on an everyday basis.
They're 32 and 22. This is why you really can't look at batting average anymore, and you haven't been able to for a while. You really have to look at OPS and the total scope of everything. When you look at the Astros, you know, lineup in terms of just hitting, Pena's at 245. I mean, you remember when that was a disgraceful batting average? If you were in the 260s, it was kind of gross. Pena's hitting 245. Yordan's at 283. But Bregman is 240, and he's up. He's up to 240.
And listen.
Because he's been hitting.
He's been hitting.
Tucker at 271. Abreu, 214. Chaz, 220. I mean, it's not great if you just look at the batting average. But they're 32 and 22 because they have pop. They've got some guys who can hit home runs. They get hot at different times of the year. We've seen these averages. If you just pay attention to averages, they're going up and down, up and down. At a wild pace, but that's why you have to look at OPS. Like, it tells a much better story. You have to look at hitting with men in scoring position. There's way better indicators of a team's efficiency and success potential than batting average, because the batting averages now are just, it's been pretty gross for certain Astros for a while.
No. When you looked at about a month ago at that board of the lineup that was out there and the averages,
because Pena was lower, Bregman was he was in the low 200s.
Oh, yeah. No. I think he could be low 200 for a
while. Hey, can we talk? All right, let's break it. I want to talk about what the umpire did yesterday with Jeremy Pena.
Oh, was he terrible? He was awful.
I mean, that was just such a horse turd move.
All right, I just talked to Daniel a little while ago over at T-Box. Guys, we're going to be there on Friday, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a $25 Pebble Beach tournament. Everybody's going to play the same conditions all day long. We're going to be there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we are going to have a tournament where you go and play Pebble, and the lowest score, I'm going to tell you, this cooler that Daniel has, it's made out of wood, and it's got a giant container. It's got the Astros logo. It's made of wood. It's got the Astros logo on the front and on the top. It is a beautiful, I'm telling you, it's the nicest cooler I've ever seen. And it's Astros. It's got, well, he did it. He just put the Astros on there. It is awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to play for this thing all day. You can get there whatever time you get there on Friday until 7 o'clock. You play your round, and the lowest round of the day is going to win that bad boy. We're going to be at T-Box Texas in League City all day long. Want you to come up. But anytime you want to go, it's going to get hot now. You want to play golf indoors? It's T-Box Texas. This is the place to go. It's raining. It's night. It's hot. Too hot out. It's too cold out. Whatever the deal is, you want to go and play? TBoxTexas.com. 8 simulators in the place. It's unbelievable. It's so awesome. You're looking for a place to play? Go to TBoxTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All your base are belong to us.
All your base are belong to us.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here now is the outrageously tanned, dark meat, white guy, and his zany Caucasian sidekick. It's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So we have the 92.5 fixed. A lot of people chiming in on that.
Yep. 92.5 fixed. Good. All right, sorry about that for those of you that missed early in the show. but RJ's on. Got it. It's done. So last night, Jerry Lane was behind the plate. Jerry Lane might have had the worst, and this is saying something, but that might have been the worst home plate ump we've seen this year. He might have been, I mean, it was pitch after pitch after pitch. Now, his score, I mean, you're looking up, you got umpire scorecard?
I'm looking it up right now.
You're looking it up right now. His score, listen, umpire scorecard, if you miss badly, you know, and, you know, okay. But any of the close pitches, he's going to score 80-some percent, right? Because you got a lot of swings and misses, or throws or strikes, whatever.
The consistency, like I'm just this is just in games, just to give you an idea. Overall consistency, this is for other guys. Well, nothing has been done for 21 hours. So 94% consistency, 90% accuracy, 95-95, 92-95. You should be 93-88. 88 ain't great in overall accuracy. That was for a different.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No, but he's going to be in the 80s. And here's the thing is there's a lot of pitches that are just easy to call. Too high, too low, hits the dirt. Right in, low, yeah. way outside, slider. That's all. There are so many. But listen, any pitch that was close, he was pretty much, he missed them. He missed most of them. He was awful. And he gets in Jeremy Pena's ear last night and starts chirping because Jeremy Pena was like, gives it a look.
Jeremy said something to him And then the guy, and then Jeremy, you know, that goes on where they may have some words, but then, you know, some umpires think you're showing them up or whatever. He leaned over the catcher and got up near his ear. And went, you want to talk about showing somebody up. That was out of line.
That was way out of line. And Alex Cintron would have none of it. And Alex Cintron gets tossed.
Yeah.
So Jerry Lane has been around for a long time. And Jerry Lane was awful. He was Angel Hernandez last night.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw the hitting coach out after you're showing up a hitter. When you're terrible, when you're making unbelievably terrible calls all night long. That was one of the worst umpiring jobs we've seen this year. Jerry Lane was a hack last night. I don't know what Jerry Lane's overall record is as far as an umpire goes. He's been around for a while, but he was awful last night. Awful.
Here he is. Jerry Lane, they've got 8 games on him. And his, oh my gosh, I don't know whatever CCAX is.
That
whatever it is.
Terrible.
It's not good. His accuracy is 93.5. It's all right. Relative accuracy, it's on the negative side.
No, well, I don't know. Maybe he's had to have been better than he was last night because he was Angel Hernandez bad last night. That's how bad he was last night. Let's get Dave in here. He wants to talk about the Astros. Hey, Dave, what's going on? Hey, RJ. What's RJ doing? He's trying to fix it. Oh, it's not fixed yet? Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's get Dave
Let's
on
get
here
Dave in here. Hey, Dave, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, man, amazing. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lance. Thanks for always bringing me on. Hey, is it safe to say that we need to leave Pena in the 2 spot? And it seems like every time we put this guy here, he seems to do better, more consistent. I know, and I hear a lot of conversations around this idea. You know that's not the thing but it might be something psychologically. Like this kid just does better when he's in the 2 hole. I don't know. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
To me, this is the lineup. Finally, Dusty got to the lineup. Everyone's healthy. This is the lineup. Pena 2, Altuve 1, Pena 2, Abreu 6. This is the lineup. So I don't even think it's that hard. This is one to me that I can get behind for the long term. I mean, Abreu, granted, he's there because you're breaking up lefties is the only reason I think he's in the 4 hole instead of Kyle Tucker. But this is the lineup to me in your top 6. And then you figure out who you're gonna, you're gonna start other than that.
And look at did you see, by the way, Jeremy Pena's OPS when he hits second and when he hits sixth?
Yeah.
It's 1,200 when he's
pretty,
hitting second and
pretty
it's 600 when
it's
he's hitting sixth.
It's always been, don't mess up something good. I don't know why Dusty even thought about doing anything different than that. We saw that I was the same way even if Brantley came back, though. And now, for sure, Michael Brantley's not even you know, probably ever going to be fully healthy based on how long this shoulder injury has lasted. Even with Michael Brantley coming back, to me, I felt like it still needed to be Jeremy Peña. It didn't. You need to have your best lineup. Give your team the best chance to win. I don't care about a Michael Brantley. Who cares? He gets paid money. We don't owe Michael Brantley.
Well, even when Michael Brantley comes back, we don't know how he's going
to
hit.
How do you even put him in a two-hole when you don't even know how he's going to be able to swing a bat without his arm falling
off?
Well,
here's Michael Brantley bats seventh when he comes back. That's what Michael Brantley does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? If you're a professional hitter, you hit from anywhere in a lineup. You're fine. No one's worried about Michael Brantley's feelings. His feelings are paid in cash. Everything's fine.
And, Pawpaw's not going to do that, though. You know that, right?
Why would you hit Peña in the two-hole when he's really good?
Peña has been unbelievable in the two-hole. He's been Jordan in the two-hole. And you're going to take him out of the two-hole when Michael Brantley comes back. That's just going to happen. Just get ready for it. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Damaris Loaded Baked Potato. It's the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Warm, loaded up with butter, cheese, sour cream, chives, and topped with your favorite barbecue meat.
I thought you didn't advertise anymore.
Who, Yanni?
Yeah, that's what that guy told RJ.
Yeah, right. He doesn't advertise.
But that sounds like he's sponsoring the show.
He does every day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Because every day we're asking where our food is.
Because Yanni's...
That's how I know for a fact. You asked me about barbecue baked potatoes. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
But does Yanni bring us one?
No.
Because why?
He doesn't like us.
No, because he's an a-hole.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you say that.
That's why. I mean, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do about it. If he doesn't bring us food, then... the loaded baked potato, you know how good that would be to have right now, loaded with their beef fajita meat?
It'd be great.
It'd be unbelievable. But no, because Yanni's a jerk. That's why. It's 727 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776
What do you think the Astros line up according to – you can save this
we'll
for
the –
you don't have to look. But I'm going to ask you, where do you think the Astros align in the American League and in all of baseball in home runs?
In home runs.
We'll Crush City.
All right. We'll do that on the – even with the seven the other day, they're low.
Okay.
Let's talk about Craig DeCerf right now, though.
Let's talk about Craig DeCerf and his ability to get you a vehicle that you're going to absolutely love. And when I say get you a vehicle you love, what am I talking about? Well, if you go to the website, LanceZCars.com, it takes you right to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They'll get the cars that you're interested in so you can search it very, very quickly by year, by mileage. You want pre-owned, you want new. By the way, pre-owns are still hot in terms of finding great prices on pre-owned, but they've got the brand new 2024 Encore GX featuring the first ever Encore GX Avenir. That is available. You can check it out. It's a smaller crossover vehicle. Really cool looking. They've got vehicles that they will tell you. There are a grand total of 12 of them that are priced specifically to move, and they're brand new vehicles, including Chevy Silverados. You've got offers right there on the front page that would include the Women's Wednesday. That's 11% off of your service on Wednesday. So today is 11% off of your service as an homage to their service riders who are all female, and they do a great job of stacking everything, keeping everything ready to roll so you can get in and out quickly from a service standpoint. And how about 1.9% APR financing on the 2022-2023 Blazer, Equinox, Trailblazer, and Chevy Traverse models, and no payments for 90 days. 1.9% APR is hard to find these days, and to get that on the Chevy Traverse with no payments for 90 days, don't miss out, guys. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights and fish.
We got weights and fish.
There we go. Oh!
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
It is RJ and us two. 713-780-3776. RJ is working. We're working hard to get that 92.5 right. Although I think you can hear us, right, RJ? You got us? Oh, yeah, we're on. We're on the air.
So I ask you a question. Where do you think the Astros stack up Major League Baseball and home runs? They had 7 the other day.
They had 7 the other day. I'm going to say they're 22nd in the league.
23rd.
Yeah. They've been.
With 7, they're up to 54. The Rays lead with 101.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are so low. They would have been, if they had just hit 4 home runs the other day, oh my gosh, they'd be like 26th.
Yeah, there's been a power shortage this year.
How do they have 32? I'm trying to figure out, how are they 32 and 22? Jose Altuve missed most of the season so far. You lost Justin Verlander, Urquidy, and Luis Garcia very, very rapidly, those other two. Lance McCullers has been out the whole time. Alex Bregman has not been himself for a chunk of the season so far. I'm trying to figure out, how did they have 10 more wins and losses? And their home run total is near the bottom of the league. How have they done it?
The pitching has been great. You know, the bullpen has been great. The pitching has been great.
It's been consistent.
And has it been great though? They've
pulled together some wins when the pitching wasn't great. I think that's one of the big factors, is they've had a couple of wins specifically I can remember with a pitching. One was Hunter Brown. It was early in the year, and Hunter Brown had a bad performance, like in the first 10 games of the year, and the Astros had a big comeback late. And then you had the other one against the Cubs the other day. Even when the pitching hasn't been good, you've pulled some games off with some late run production.
Yeah. No, listen. You see that stat earlier in the season? I don't know. Maybe it was about a month ago or so. They were like one of the worst teams in the league in the first 6 innings, and they were the best team in the league from 7th, 8th, and 9th as far as hitting goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how clutch they are. And they didn't have any runners in scoring position, but when they did, they would come through. I mean, they were like in the bottom third in the league or quarter in the league in number of runners in scoring position, and yet they were still scoring runs.
Right.
They have been very, very, very clutch. You can't count on that all year. Without Jose Altuve at the top of the order, without Michael Brantley, this has not been anything close to what we expected as far as a staff goes. And as far as a lineup goes, this has not been.
Well, Jackie does point out, I mean, in terms of runs allowed, total runs allowed, the Astros right now are first in the league, 181. I mean, it's Minnesota's next at 198.
Yeah, the pitching has been great.
Who's the worst? Oakland, 388.
And I heard so many people, that was a disappointing loss the other day. And Presley, blah, blah, Presley, it was a horrible. Presley's been great. Presley has been, I know, you know, when he comes in a 3-run lead, he's going to give up 2 runs, period. But when he gets a save situation, Presley comes through. And you know who else is coming through? Is Maton.
Yeah, Phil Maton's been really good this year.
Maton has been unbelievably good.
He has.
And I hope that it lasts. I mean, we saw him last year really fall off at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the year before, he was the exact opposite. He sucked all year, and then he was great in the postseason. Now, last year he was great, and then he sucked toward the end of the year, and now he's great. I mean, he's not good. He's been great this
year. You got to keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's key in the Astros being one of the best teams in baseball, is that they have a consistency level. And one of the reasons is because their starters have been so good that they can typically go 6 innings. And so you're not one of these 4 2/3 teams, 5 1/3 teams. So, I mean, Belak is not one of those guys. He's not going to make it to 6 usually. Or, I mean, you know, through 6. But he made it into the 6th, which was good. So I think keeping them at bay is going to be really, really important. Keeping the relievers moderately, you know, keeping their pitch count moderate is going to be very important, because we've seen the Astros bullpen in years past really would crumble late in the year because they would just get fatigued and they just didn't come up clutch. And then last year, you know, it's kind of funny. Last year has made us forget that whole narrative, because the narrative was actually true information. The Astros usually stink in the postseason when it comes to relief pitching, and the starters and the and the lineup has had to bail them out. Last year, the relievers were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best performance ever by a bullpen in the postseason. So this year, you're hoping to get something closer to what we saw last year. So we'll see. We'll see if you can get that. But so far, so far so good. But I still, yesterday you saw Arcidi throwing. Mark Berman had video of Arcidi throwing. Did you see that?
Yep.
It looks a little tight. It's not where it needs to be. But that's good to see him throwing. It means that Arcidi, there's a timetable for him to. Well, actually, they haven't set a timetable. But
it's all-star game.
It's positive.
It's all-star
game. Positive. Is it? You think it's still all-star?
Yeah, I think probably. Yeah. They might move it up.
It's a little ways away.
Yeah, it's a little ways away.
We're still six weeks away.
Mid-July. But you know what? Yeah. Yeah, that's that. Hey, just get him back. But I'll tell you this, and again, I've never seen a team. We'll see what Ronel. You see what Ronel Blanco is doing down in the minors?
Yeah, he's been good.
He's been great.
Yeah.
He's been great.
Now, we've seen his act.
Yeah.
But he can hum it now. Yeah. There's so that, I don't mind his. I don't mind his arm at all.
Yeah.
Coming up when you need him.
I think he's got 14 scoreless innings now in a row, straight scoreless innings. So. He's been great. He's probably going to be the sixth starter. It may even be this week. We'll see whether or not, because they don't get a day off until June 12th. I think that was there was 17 straight days that they're playing, the run has been this is the toughest run of the season. So they've been talking about it was going to be Whitley, but of course Whitley is hurt, so it's not going to be Whitley. You know what Ronel Blanco is going to do? He's going to come up here, he's going to step up, and he's going to be really, really good because it's what the Astros minor leaguers do.
Do you remember how many innings Luis Garcia pitched before he was gone?
Was it two starts?
He pitched 27 innings.
Three starts?
Six.
Six starts? Was it really?
Does that seem right to you?
No.
I thought he was done after three.
Yeah, right.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't remember that. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts? You're more than welcome to do this. I'm looking at a tweet right here that says, and this is from Mike Herndon, NFL. You know him?
Mike Harmon? Matt Harmon?
No, Mike Herndon.
No, I don't know him.
Anyway, he says, if you combined, the Titans have had the worst offseason in the NFL. If you combined the Texans and the Titans wide receiver groups, it would still be the worst wide receiver room in the league.
That's an old tweet. I remember seeing that, and I had to think about it. And I'm like, I don't know that it'd be the worst, but it feels like there may be some accuracy to it.
Alex Bachman, Noah Brown, Jalen Camp, Nico Collins, Nathaniel Dell, Drew Estrada, Xavier Hutchinson, Johnny Johnson III, John Mechie III, Amari Rodgers, Steven Sims, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Colton Dowell, Karis Jackson, Mason Kinsey, Racy McMath, Chris Moore, Kyle Phillips,
all
Reggie
right,
Roberson,
point is made.
And Nick Westbrook.
It's accurate.
Who would be the starters?
Treylon Burks, Nico, and then I guess you got to go. Who did we deal? Oh, no. We dealt
Tank?
Crybaby already.
Tank or Messi?
No, I don't know. Neither has played pro football.
Right.
Robert Woods?
Wow. That's really bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go veterans, you go Treylon, Robert Woods, and
veterans,
Nico Collins.
You mean 1 year, 2 years, and
yeah,
whatever.
Robert well, Treylon Burks was a first-round rookie,
yeah,
and he had some moments last year. So
yeah.
Treylon definitely would be a starter. Let's go Robert Woods, Treylon, and Nico. Yep, that's the worst.
Wow, that's the worst.
Well, I mean, you always have to look over it. Every year you have to look over what New England's throwing out there on the scraps they're throwing out on the field. But they made some attempts to rectify that. But that's probably true. Let's go Colts now. Michael Pittman, if you the Colts in there. The best you could come up with, Michael Pittman would be a starter. Now Robert Woods is out. So we're not Michael Pittman. Alex Pierce.
Paris Campbell's gone.
Okay. So Michael Pierce. I mean, Alex Pierce or Nico Collins. I don't know. One of those guys
Treylon
is still probably in. Treylon's in, and Michael Pittman is in.
Is
Nico Collins, Robert? I think Robert Woods has to be out. We don't even know if he can stay healthy, even though he's been better than at one point in his career. He was better than Nico Collins.
The AFC South would be
Alex
the worst
Pierce,
wide
Nico,
receiver room in the.
Yeah, and then when I throw in the Titans. Who am I missing? What other team? Oh, Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not great either. I guess Christian Kirk would take over for maybe he'd be the start. So it'd be Christian Kirk, Treylon Burks, and Michael Pittman. Oh my God.
Awful.
Wow, the AFC South
is awful.
I mean, that is terrible. Look, I mean, as an all-star group.
What about Calvin Ridley?
What's that?
What about Calvin Ridley?
I guess we just haven't seen him play yet.
It's been a while.
You're right. Calvin Ridley, you're right. It would be Calvin Ridley, Michael Pittman, Treylon Burks. Nobody from the Texans.
No.
That would be the three. Thank you for reminding
us. Yeah, but that's still by far the worst.
Oh, it's still the worst.
It's still by far the worst.
Well, I mean, I'll just give you NFC East. Go ahead.
Stephon Diggs and...
NFC.
Oh, NFC East.
A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Right.
And Terry McLaurin.
Well, and the Giants are loaded this year.
Yeah, but you got McLaurin. I mean, those are three guys right there. I hadn't even mentioned the Giants.
Yeah. AFC East?
NFC South. Okay, do AFC East.
AFC.
Stephon Diggs.
Tyreek. Forget about
the two little guys in Miami.
Yeah.
I don't even have to go any further.
That's all.
All right. Now, of course, you kind of have to do that because the Jets aren't that great at wide receiver.
Wilson.
Well, what about, Garrett.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson and also Randall Cobb.
Yeah. Well.
Because he joined, isn't he back there with the Jets with Aaron?
Yeah.
I think he signed up with Aaron. Okay, give me NFC South.
Mike Evans.
Are you going to use Mike? Yeah, Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Godwin. You going to use both of them? They still there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers are.
Panthers,
and Michael
yucky.
Thomas, you can't.
Can't count on Michael Thomas. You can't have. There's no one from the Panthers. Falcons. I guess you go Drake London, but he hasn't shown a lot. That's a little bit of a problem in that division.
That's the second worst.
Of course, they're also a bad. That's a bad conference.
No, it's the two worst.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have receivers now. You go out to the AFC West, right off the top of my head. I don't know. You want to go Keenan Allen as one of
the top three? Devontae Adams.
Yeah, Devontae Adams is for sure. Is Keenan. Okay, Devontae Adams. Anybody with the Chiefs?
No, Travis Kelce's the. No.
Not really. And then you have Keenan Allen you could still put in there, I suppose.
Jerry Jeudy.
Ugh. Well, you know, the West isn't as great as I thought. Well, Hunter Renfro, when he's going, is pretty good when he's healthy. He's a pretty good slot receiver. It's not great over there either in the West. It's kind of weird to think about. But Mike Williams is older. I mean, you could potentially have Mike Williams there. They just drafted a wide receiver, too.
NFC West, Debo.
Yeah, Debo. Seahawks. You have two at the Seahawks. You got DK Metcalf and also the other one, Lockett.
DeAndre Hopkins.
D Hop is open.
Oh, that's right. He's wide
He's
open.
He's open.
By the way, when we come back, well, let's talk a little bit.
NFC North, once you get outside of Justin Jefferson, gets a little shaky, too. Who do the Bears have?
Oh, they just picked up
DJ Moore now. Yeah. You have DJ Moore. Packers don't really have anyone left.
No, but Christian played
Christian
pretty well.
Watson, we'll see. Christian.
He came out
and
at the
then
end of the season.
Jameson Williams. Oh, well, yeah.
He's
going to be gone
six games.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
They're not great either.
By the way, did you see that? He didn't know you can't gamble. Nobody told him. That's what his defense was. Nobody told me. All right.
Bro, are you checking your emails?
I
never even got my password set up.
When we come back, I want to talk about DeAndre for a second. 746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk a little tequila.
Maestro Nobel is the tequila that I love. So here's how great tequila is made. Great tequila it's a process. It takes time. That's why most of the top tequila makers that you know of are, you know, people who have been around for a long time. And just because you may not have heard of Maestro Nobel in the past, they were huge in Mexico. They've got 11 of tequila makers in Tequila, Mexico, who have been making these tequilas. And And this is one of the reasons why they're so good. They have created the process. They fine-tune the process. They know exactly what the aging looks like, what the ingredients look like, and they are going to do it the right way every single time. And that's why whether you are looking for, you know, a lot of tequilas just have one or two bottles and that's it. Maestro Noble has six or seven choices, from Reposado to Añejo, Añejo Extra, the Cristalinos, the Smoked Silver, the Silver. There's all these different types of tequilas that are going to hit you in different ways. They're all great for sipping tequilas. And, of course, there are some you're going to want to use for your margaritas and for different cocktails. So make sure that you go put a bottle of Maestro Dobel on your shelf and experience it once and for all. And just tell me what you think. Take the picture. Send it to me. Tell me what you think of it. It's Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
The bidet, there's a sturdiness to it. It can accommodate a fairly heavy carriage.
The Kings are on the air. It's John and Lance, man. That's just stupid, dude. I'm not reading that one. Oh, look, the recently self-coronated Kings of Houston Sports Radio. Come on, dude. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. 750 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, so I'm done having kids. I'm done. But you know who's not? Everybody from the cast of Heat. Robert De Niro had his seventh child at age 79. And not to be outdone, Al Pacino at age 83 with his 29-year-old partner is getting ready to have a kid as well. 83 and 79, what a nightmare. Of course, it's not like they're going to do anything. They're just like, eh.
Right.
What, they don't have to run around chasing kids. Like, how are we going to travel with them? They don't have real problems.
Listen, if I'm looking at that picture that you got right there.
You better not say
I am
it.
Not mating with Al Pacino because, boy, he does not put out his performance as far as, boy, what the is that? Goodness gracious, his kids. Maybe he should take, maybe he needs.
What did you just say? His performance, he doesn't put out good kids.
His genes, man.
God, John. Why are you telling truthful
things?
Go
look up Al Pacino's kids.
Don't. While you're at it, there's a website.
Well, here's a story I didn't get to. News of the Weird yesterday. Maybe they need to. Pacino and De Niro need to take a page from this guy's book. An 85-year-old man was arrested for stealing condoms from a convenience store. Police in Gifu City in Japan arrested an 85-year-old man on suspicion of shoplifting two packs of condoms. Okay, first of all. Good on you. Okay, you're being at least you're being responsible. Secondly, I hope I have that kind of urge at 85 to be stealing condoms.
It's weird. They still arrest people who shoplift in Japan.
I know. Well, yeah.
Aren't you just supposed to let everyone go in and say insurance will pay for it?
Did you see the story
of Lululemon?
The Lululemon?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I saw Charles Adams post about it.
It's unbelievable. A Lululemon terrible. Employee
two of them.
Called police. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys just went in, grabbed all the stuff, and so they started recording them and went and got their license plate and then called police.
And said, these guys just stole
from
us. They
got fired by Lululemon.
And Lululemon fired them.
Like, you're not supposed to do that. You just let them take whatever they want. They're like,
what the?
And you knew that was our policy, so you're not supposed to do anything.
How?
And it's so weird to see people online like, you just let them take whatever they want. That's what you have insurance for. Do y'all know, it's like people don't even care anymore about right and wrong. Like, you know that, I don't know. I guess people just don't get taught that stealing's wrong anymore. I guess it's not. But how do you not, even if that's your policy not to chase them, how do you fire someone for that?
Yeah, right.
If you want to quote-unquote reprimand them, do that behind the scenes. But just because they're trying to help your store, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That was like one of the most 2023 stories I've ever seen.
That's unbelievable.
Employees got fired for somebody shoplifting because they tried to report it to police.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is out there. DeAndre Hopkins is
Well, he's been stealing too.
He has been stealing.
Is that where you're going with that?
No, I'm not.
Because, you know, they said he didn't play. He went sleeping bag the last two games of the year. Cardinals are really pissed that he was healthy and just decided not to play the last two games of the year.
Yeah, and the second thing about that is some NFL GM said DeAndre Hopkins can't separate, can't run anymore. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, he never did separate,
no,
but he won the 50-50 balls about 80% of the time,
yeah, that's
which made him really, really good. But he was going to sign a deal until the Ravens signed
OBJ.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, that deal changed DeAndre chances. Hopkins.
Yeah, but I'd take my chances with D-Hop if I'm the Chiefs. I mean, I guess you don't have room.
Would you rather
anymore.
Have Odell or Hop,
no,
Hop right
Hop.
Now?
I'd rather have Hop.
Oh, I don't know.
Odell's coming off an ACL tear. No, I'd rather have Hop because he's a big. It depends on the quarterback too. Like, well, Pat Mahomes. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers already got Lazard, so you can't. Like, I think he would have been great with Aaron Rodgers. I think he would be a good addition. I think we need to be thinking about teams like, you know.
Well, it's going to be Chiefs or Bills, probably.
Yeah, the Bills would make a lot of sense.
So would the Chiefs.
But when has D-Hop played in cold weather?
Yeah.
Clemson, yeah. Houston, Arizona.
Right.
You know, I think that's something I wouldn't just.
That's something about Deshaun, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't just automatically just ignore that. This isn't a video game. It's real.
No, it's
playing
real.
In cold
yep.
weather can be tough. Now, how many games you play like that? Well, the important ones?
Yeah.
You play in cold weather?
All the important ones are going to be in cold weather, right. Exactly. what is it about, and I've heard, coming back to Houston, what is it about this city that we have
Stockholm
Jadavian
syndrome.
Back?
We I have, know. Have Hart, I would bring Jadavian.
Harden
the Stockholm
back.
Syndrome for this city
I mean, it's
is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Guys, move on. There's other players available. You don't have to have James. I get the argument for James. For Clowney, I don't even get it. Like, Clowney is a guy who's known to just take off to Lake Charles on his off days and just go gamble. He was gambling.
I have no problem with that.
He had the 49. I remember there was a preseason game that he said he couldn't play in, and he went, and they had pictures of him shooting dice. In the like, it's just things that you don't want to. That's not a look that you want to have.
I don't have a problem with that.
That was when
but okay.
he was his second year. You don't want to. You just don't want to show that. He's never been a guy who's been a worker and a guy who's worked on his game. Like, come on, guys, let's get the right guys in the locker rooms. Let's just. You don't have to just go with. Well, I know Clowney. I know him. Well, I mean, I know James. Yeah, but remember James on the way? You remember all the James stuff that we're done with? Can't we move on to a different guy? And now you're telling me who now? D-Hop, too?
D-Hop
we got to get
too.
D-Hop back?
Harden, D-Hop, Jadavian. We wanted Yuli back for the first.
I mean, Yuli was like, people were, after an entire year of trying to get rid of Yuli. Yuli needed to come back. I get that's you're in your feelings over a World Series win. I totally get that. But D-Hop is on the last legs. Like, it doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. We got a break at Doug Glanville coming up next.
Oh, next. Doug Glanville right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about T-Box Texas. I'm talking about Friday. We're going to be there all day long. But I'm talking about any day that you want to play golf and the weather is not great or it's nighttime. You can't play at night. Okay, you got T-Box Texas. It's down in League City. It's unbelievable. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I've been there, done that. You've got all the TVs that you could want. You got a bar where you're going to play Pebble Beach on Friday all day long from 7 to 7. If you have the lowest score, you are going to win the nicest cooler I've ever seen. It's made of wood with the cooler inside. You throw the ice. It is a backyard decoration, regardless if you ever use it as a cooler. I'm telling you, you are going to love it. Go to my Twitter account and see it for yourself. It is a bad boy, and we're giving it away. It's a basically a $500 value. It's a $500 value that we are giving away. It's going to cost you just $25 to play Pebble Beach and compete to see who wins this cooler on Friday. But come on out. We're going to be there all day long from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find out where at tboxtexas.com, tboxtexas.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, with more nougat.
You're not cooking.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.